We're going to continue talking about the call that God has placed upon our lives for a relationship with Him. And today we're going to talk about, from God's Word, about the call to prayer, the call to prayer. I'm going to give you just a little review as we get started here. On the first Sunday of the year, which just happened to be January 1st, Micah 6:8, we looked at, He has showed you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So, that prompted this question, what does it mean to act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly? Basically, there is this call upon all of our lives for a personal relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. So we talked about the next week we talked about the call to obedience, trust and obey, trust and obey. And we cited Noah as an example of one who, the Bible says, Noah obeyed everything that the Lord told him to do. So he was an example of obedience. And we talked about the call to follow Jesus. And we cited the scripture that said, where Jesus called His disciples, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And we talked a little bit more specifically about Peter and how that played out for him. And how all of us are called to be disciples, to walk with Jesus and to follow Him. And last week we talked about the call to serve. The ultimate servant, Jesus Christ Himself, said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. And we talked about how if we do not allow Jesus to serve us, we are not able to serve others. As we allow Jesus to serve us, that empowers us to serve others. So this morning we want to talk about the call to prayer. How many of you own a cell phone? How many of you have your cell phone with you? If it's handy, hold it up. How many of you worship at the shrine of your cell phone? You don't have to answer that. You can answer that with God. How many of you have ever misplaced your cell phone? Yeah. And whenever you do that, you have your ringer silenced. And so you have to listen for this little, if it's on vibrate, you have to listen for this little buzz. So do you have your cell phone silenced right now? I hope so. You need to. With the advent of the cell phone and the internet, there have been drastic changes in the way that we communicate with each other. We acknowledge that. Now we have, via your cell phone, we have text messaging. Of course, email was popular for a while through the internet. Email. Now we have text messaging. We have Twitter, and I don't know anything about Twitter, but I'll just say one thing about this. This is not a political statement per se, but I wish President Trump would stay off of Twitter. You know what I mean. There's something called Snapchat. I don't know anything about it. Instagram, you can put pictures and little messages, and Facebook Messenger, so forth and so on. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty old-fashioned, and I still prefer a good old face-to-face conversation with voice inflection, posture, facial expression, tone of voice, all used to communicate. Amen? Face-to-face communication. Well, as we think about that, even though we cannot see God face-to-face, God desires that depth of communication, that kind of intimacy with us. God desires that kind of communication. We call it prayer. We call it prayer. It is both a wonderful privilege, and in many ways it is a mystery. It is mysterious. I don't know about you, but it is amazing to me that the God of the universe, the one who flung the stars in the heavens and created galaxies upon galaxies beyond our imagination, that this God Almighty, this Creator God, wants to communicate and have a relationship with me. Psalm chapter 8, the King David was thinking about this idea when he wrote, inspired by God, David penned these words, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds, and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." David was thinking about the wonders of the universe and how God still was mindful of him. In Psalm 19, David writes, "The heavens declare the glory of the Lord. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge." So God, through the created universe, speaks to us powerfully. He speaks through his word. He speaks through other believers. Early on in the Old Testament, God spoke to us through the prophets. God spoke to us through the prophets. Mercy Me, the contemporary Christian group, sings a song called "Word of God Speak." Word of God Speak. I want to share the words with you. "I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay." This idea of prayer being a two-way communication, that not just us telling God what we want, but us listening to God and hearing from him. He says, "The last thing I need is to be heard, but rather to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness." Word of God, speak. Word of God, speak. It's all about this two-way communication. We think about prayer as being all about us speaking to God, but we need to pay more attention to God speaking to us in our times of meditation and prayer. So one suggestion is to begin your prayer time with the Word, the Bible, and allow God to speak to you through the Word, as he has generation upon generation. Have you taken time to hear God's voice, to hear his call? We want to understand a little bit more about this wondrous thing that we call, this wondrous mystery we call prayer. God has spoken and he continues to speak. Hebrews chapter 1, the Hebrew writer talks about how God spoke in times past. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets, and many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven." So, God has spoken to us through the prophets in the Old Testament, and now, more perfectly, has spoken to us through his Son. So we should be listening and paying attention to what God is saying to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. One of those prophets of old was the prophet Jeremiah. When God called him to speak, Jeremiah was very young. So let's look at, go to the first chapter of Jeremiah. And hear what, beginning with verse 4, what happened with this young man. "The word of the Lord came to me saying," Jeremiah 1:4, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Verse 6, "Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send to you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." So the prophet Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet because his message was not well received Much of his message was uproot and tear down, destroy, overthrow, judgment pronounced on a sinful and wayward people. By all worldly standards, Jeremiah's message and Jeremiah seemed as if he was a failure. He spoke the words God gave to him, but no one listened. He was imprisoned often. He was, in one case, he was lured into a cistern. It had no water in it, but it was mud in the bottom, and the Bible tells us that he sank down into the mud. That doesn't sound like a fun assignment, does it? Jeremiah the prophet. Jeremiah was in the courtyard, confined in the courtyard in Jeremiah 33, which I want to visit for just a moment. It says in Jeremiah 33, while Jeremiah was still confined in the courtyard of the guard, the word of the Lord came to him a second time. This is what the Lord says, he who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. Verse 3, call to me. Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. So it's important for us as we begin to think about what this prayer thing looks like, that God desires our prayers. God desires. God said to the prophet Jeremiah, he said, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things. Jesus himself placed a high value on prayer. He is our example in showing us how important prayer really is. He often got away. He ministered to people, and he in the pace of his life, he would get away and he would go to the mountainside and he would pray, sometimes all night. He encouraged his disciples to pray. He taught his disciples to pray the prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer, a pattern for our prayers. And he told the disciples in Luke 18, verse 1, Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. God desires us to pray. God desires our prayer. So, how should we pray, knowing that God desires our prayer? How should we pray? I believe the Bible teaches us that we should pray humbly, that we should pray humbly. Also in the book of Luke, also in chapter 18, we find this story of two men who went up to the temple to pray. Luke 18, beginning with verse 9, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else. Have you ever known anybody like that? Some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else. Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. I always find that, when I read this story, I always find that ironic. Pray about yourself. Prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get. So he was saying, I, look at me, look at how good I am. Wow, what an interesting prayer. On the other hand, the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, I tell you. Jesus said in the parable, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. God encourages us to pray. He wants us to pray humbly. When I started on this message, I thought I was going to talk extensively about Nehemiah, but God took me in a little different direction. But I do want to cite Nehemiah, as he was a cupbearer to the king, and he heard about, through a fellow Israelite, he heard about the situation in Jerusalem, that things were in ruin, that the walls were broken down, and that Jerusalem, the people in that, the exiles that had returned to Jerusalem or had remained in Jerusalem, were living in disgrace. And Nehemiah's heart was burdened for that situation. Now listen to how Nehemiah responded. Nehemiah 1, 4, and 5. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. How many of us have sat down and wept for something that is wrong in our lives or in lives around us? How many of us have knelt before the Lord. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Nehemiah in his prayer confessed the sins of the people, his own sins. He was humble. He was humbled by the burden that God placed upon his heart and about the whole situation. When you think about it, even Jesus Christ humbled himself to the Father's will as he prayed in the garden, "Not my will, but thine be done." How should we pray? We should pray humbly. We should come humbly before the Lord. The Bible also teaches us that we should pray unceasingly. Unceasingly. We all are familiar with the phrase, pray without ceasing. In the NIV, it says, be joyful always, pray continually. Pray without ceasing is another version of that verse. Given thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians 6:18, Paul writes, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. So we are to have this ongoing conversation with our Lord. How many of us are guilty of maybe when we wake up in the morning, we say a quick prayer for the day, and maybe we have our devotions and we may spend some time in prayer in that, but then how many of us go throughout our day and never give God a second thought? Never a second thought unless a crisis comes. And then we're quick to pray when the crisis comes. How many of us approach it in that way? And then maybe before we fall exhausted into bed at night, we think about praying. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was facing the cross, he asked his disciples to watch and pray, lest they enter into temptation. Life is a challenge. Life is one big temptation. So we too must watch and pray, lest we enter into temptation. Pray without ceasing. One pastor put it this way, prayer should be the continual turning of our hearts to God about everything we need, so much so that the subconscious mind is continually in touch with God. Just like a mother who in her sleep listens for the cry of her baby, so a Christian's heart can be attuned to God while that person is absorbed in daily duties or even when they sleep. Pray unceasingly. The Bible also instructs us to pray about everything. Pray about everything. Paul writes, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Pray about everything. Did you know there is nothing too small to take to God in prayer? And there is nothing too big or too difficult that God cannot handle it? Amen? There is nothing too small, nothing too large that God does not care about it. Nothing too trivial. God cares about the details of our lives. The Bible says he knows the number of hairs on our head. He cares about us. I don't know about you, but I have three things that if I don't have them or know where they're at, life is not good. Think about this. Three things. One are my keys. I need to know. I just want to know. When I'm traveling, if I'm traveling in the car, I like to have a set place where I put my keys. Our old Nissan car has a key fob, so you don't have to have the key in the ignition. If you have the key in the ignition, you know where the key is. That's a good thing. I need to know where my keys is. I need to know where this silly device that I carry around with me everywhere. I need to know where that is. And I like to know also where my wallet is. Those three things are things that I need. And if you know me well, you know that my desk is a cluttering mess. Sometimes my life is like that. And occasionally I lose any one of these three things. Sometimes I misplace my keys, lay them down in a silly place, or my phone. And if I misplace my phone, it's always the ringer turned off, so it's hard to find it. Or I can't find my wallet. Just yesterday, I was here for a little bit in the morning, and it was Friday. I had a lunch appointment. I was here in the morning, and I was getting ready. I jumped in the car, and I realized I didn't have my wallet. So I come back into church, I start looking around, and then I remembered, oh, I had started a new thing. I mean, when I lose my keys or my cell phone or my wallet, I say a little prayer and I say this. I say, God, you know where my keys are. You know where my wallet is. You know everything. So please, could you help me? I know you've got a lot bigger things to deal with. There are a lot more major things, but right now, I need to find my wallet. Do you know how fast light travels? 186,000 miles per second. In 1 second, light could travel the circumference of the earth 7.5 times. You know how fast prayers travel? At the speed of thought. No more had I thought that little prayer, God help me find my wallet, when I looked down and there it was. It was right there. Now, it doesn't happen all the time, because later that day I misplaced my keys and I prayed the same prayer. And God said, do not tempt the Lord thy God. I eventually found those as well. Nothing is too small. Nothing is too difficult. When the doctor says, your son had a lump that had some cancer cells in it, that's not too difficult for God. Sometimes he answers the way we think he should, and sometimes he does not, but he always hears our prayers. He answers, if we are in relationship with him, if we are following him, if we are serving him, if we are obeying him, he hears our prayers. May God forgive us for our prayerlessness. For our prayerlessness. When we fail to pray, we are declaring that we do not need God. God says to all of us, call to me. God wants relationship. God wants conversation. God wants dialogue. He wants to speak to us. He wants us to speak to him. There's a Southern Baptist pastor who wrote a book called How to Pray, Pastor Ronnie Floyd. He says, prayer occurs when you depend on God. Prayerlessness occurs when you depend on yourself. There's an example in the Old Testament when the prophet Samuel was subject to the will of the people. They wanted his king. Everybody else has a king. We want a king. And so Samuel was heartbroken about that. But the Lord says to Samuel, he says, they've not rejected you, Samuel, they've rejected me as their king. And so as the time goes on and Saul's anointed and they're into that for a while and Samuel gets ready to retire, the people begin to realize what they've done in asking for a king. And so in 1 Samuel 12:19, the people say to Samuel, pray to the Lord your God for your servants so that we will not die. For we have added to our other sins the evil of asking for a king. And a few verses later, Samuel says this, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. Failing to pray for you. Prayer occurs when you depend on God. Prayerlessness occurs when you depend on yourself. So, my friends, if we are walking with God, if we are obedient to God, if we are following Jesus, if we are serving as we ought, then we will pray. We will pray. We will pray humbly. We will pray unceasingly. We will pray about everything. And we will pray for everyone. We will pray for everyone. So, let's pray. Lord, Forgive us for our sin of prayerlessness. Teach us to pray as only you can. I pray, God, that we would have open hearts and minds, that we would take time to be still and know that you are God, that we would seek to hear from you every day of our lives. I pray, God, that we would have that communication, that we would pray humbly, that we would pray unceasingly, that we would pray about everything, that we would develop that vital prayer relationship with you. Thank you for the challenge of your word today. And may we approach you with all grace and humility, grace extended to us. And as we experience that grace, may we extend grace to others. We give you thanks and praise for this day and for the challenge of your word. Help us. Teach us. Teach us to pray. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up. We're going to sing that old hymn, Teach Us to Pray.